Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to part two of Walking the Dog with comedian Maisie Adam. If you haven't yet caught part one, do go back and give it a listen, as she's a bit of a diamond. I really hope you enjoy the second part of our chat and remember to subscribe. Here's Maisie and Ray Ray.
Let's go this way. Come on, Maisie.
I love Maisie.
Are you okay with me calling you Maisie?
Big fan of Maisie.
It was a bit forward of me.
No, I like it. I like it when people feel comfortable to call me Maisie.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
I want to talk to you about your hugely successful comedy career, but I'm going to wait until we're off the pebbles.
Yeah, this is a good soundbite for your pod, though, because sometimes people might listen to this and think, are they really at the seafront?
This is actually a nice
Foley sound, isn't it?
We're in Maisie's front living room, and her husband has very thoughtfully provided us with little gravel
pits. He's been impersonating waves for the last 58 minutes.
He went to drama school, that's why.
Yeah, he's classically trained.
He paid 27 grand for the waves training.
Good God.
So, I want to talk about your hugely successful comedy career, because you've been... Not only are you a brilliant stand-up,
and you're
hugely well-known for your live work, you have sell-out tours, one of which is coming up soon, which we're going to discuss.
Oh, yeah.
And what was the first TV, I suppose, panel show, or you've done a lot of shows like, you know, 8 out of 10 Cats,
That was the
week.
First one.
What was the first TV show then?
That 8 out of 10 Cats. That was the first, thing I appeared on as a stand-up.
Were you nervous?
I was so nervous, so nervous. And do you know what? I was on with one of the, comedians that I'd grown up kind of aspiring to. I'd actually gone and seen her when I was at university, and I was a bit nervous about being on with her, just because I wanted to impress her, Sarah Pascoe. And I was really nervous, and I think I must have looked it, and she was so nice to me. And I've always remembered it, because... After it, I was like, if I do get to keep doing this, if I do get to keep on being on panel shows and being silly for a living, I want to make sure I'm like her, of that when somebody's new, when somebody's having their first go, be like how she was. I must have looked so nervous, because I didn't realise as well, you watch these shows and they're half an hour, aren't they? But you record them for about 2.5 in front of a live audience, and you have the show notes of what you're going to be talking about in each part. And the guy had handed me those show notes and then pointed on the set from the side where we were all sat. You're going to be sat there, Maisie. Just go out and remember to wave to the audience. And I was like, okay, and I can go out with my notes, can I? And he was like, yeah, it's fine. Don't worry about it. And I was like, but then people will see that they might think that I've pre-written material, or they might think, something in my face was clearly showing, what? I don't know. And she came over to me, Sarah Pascoe, she was like, give me your notes, I'll put them out for you. And all you've got to focus on is just walking out and smiling and sitting down. You're going to be great. You look fantastic. I think, and she'd said it, I remember she said it to me in the makeup room when I sat down. She was like, you look great. Which immediately, because you're not used to being sat in a chair and somebody doing all your face up. So I was really fish out of water. And she was so lovely to me. And I completely relaxed. And also... I was on with quite a few lads, as is the case a lot.
Funny that, on a comedy panel show.
Yeah, and, I'm the new kid, so I was expecting that we'd all sort of take it into... But it is the way of it. Mm-hmm. Comedy panel shows, it's sometimes, it took me back to drama school. It's the loudest kid. Loudest kid is the one that gets the part.
But it turns out it's all the Josephs.
Yeah, it's a lot of Josephs. Yeah, it is. That is it. It's a lot of Josephs.
And so two female shepherds.
There was
shepherds.
A lot of blokes who were kind of talking loudly... you'd start to say a joke, and it's not maliciously. I think that's just sometimes how comedians' brains work, is they're like, I've got something that I know is going to get a laugh, so I need to say it now. And it can feel a bit brutal at first, and then you realise everybody's doing it. But Sarah kept going, Maisie, what was that you were about to say? And deliberately going out of her way to bring me in. And I've never forgotten it because it just meant the world, because I don't think I'd have got a word in edgeways otherwise. And it really, really made a difference. And I was like toying with the idea of telling her for like 3 years, because she had a kid, so I didn't see her for a while on the circuit or stuff. I never had like a good, and then she had her show Guessable, and I told her then, I was like, just so you know, you were really nice to me on my first ever. I don't think you knew it was my first one, but it was really, really nice of you. And it's sort of a conscious effort that I try to make now, because I know how much it meant to be on the receiving end of it. So
you never forget in any, I mean, I'm not a stand-up, but I've done broadcasting and radio work, and
in any walk of life, you never forget the people that are kind.
I never forget when people give you space in that context. Yeah. That I feel, doing radio with Frank Skinner for so long, I think that was kind of a shock to me.
Yeah.
He was, just wait till the joggers pass. We've got the two joggers in the black t-shirts. They're dressed
speaking aloud blokes.
They were Josephs.
Yeah.
They were weren't Josephs, they were Herods.
A couple of Josephs just rang back.
They were actually Herods, weren't they?
They were Herods. They were, troublemakers.
But good on Sarah Pascoe.
Yeah.
I love her.
It meant
for
the
that.
World. It meant the world to me, yeah. Yeah.
I want to, let's pass the noisy men.
She's a good
How's
egg.
Your foot, by the way?
Oh, fine. I really just meant because they're just not in a position to be put into shoes at the moment. But it doesn't hurt to walk
at all. You know what? I have to say, Maisie.
All the Herods are coming back, FYI.
Do you know? It's a good expression, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, it's quite extreme, let's be honest.
I can hear them from here.
It was literally like heaven.
It was like heaven.
Do you know what?
It was.
Oh, Maisie, let's look at this. I love benches.
Very nice, isn't it?
Memorial benches.
I believe so, yeah.
What a lovely thing, you know. Oh, don't, that's made me cry.
Being here, he will always be here. Forever missed. Duchess of Hove.
Oh, the Duchess of Hove. I love the sound of her.
Yeah.
I'm still here. I love these memorial benches by the sea.
Do you? I think I'd quite like one on the sea for when I'm gone. I wouldn't want it to say my name, though. I'd just like it to say, like, maybe a really good recipe for a roast dinner. Do you know what I mean? Something that, like, people can...
Good legacy.
Yeah.
Come on, Ray Ray. So, that's so lovely, that story about Sarah Pascoe.
Yeah.
And after 8 out of 10 cats, often when you get those appearances, you only hear about the people who get those slots and make something of it.
Yeah.
Because actually there are millions, not millions, there are hundreds of people who might get that slot that you might never hear of again, mm-hmm. just in terms of having a wider media career, because there's a specific skill to doing those TV shows.
That's what I was careful to talk about with the with that experience on 8 out of 10 cats. It's not unusual, it's almost how you have to be. It's lovely that Sarah was how she was, but it's nothing against the people that were being loud and were being, you know, first to speak, because it is quite, you can't be timid and you can't be. And I was grateful that Sarah, you know, was there to get me the space to speak. But it also, one thing I took from it was, right, well, if I do get to go on another one, I need to, Sarah might not be there, you know, I need to have my elbows out a bit. And
well, it's like going onto a trading floor of the stock market.
Yes, a
little
bit. You
can't go and go, excuse me, I'm so sorry to bother you. I wonder if we could talk about the Dow Jones.
It does feel like a trading market sometimes. Yeah.
And after that, loads followed, Mock the Week and...
Yeah, done quite a few. And I love them. I really like the format of a panel show. I enjoy it. And I like it because there's, you know, you have an idea of what you might be talking about, the loose structure. But... essentially, you just want it to flow like you and I talking now. You want it to, you know, hopefully be interesting, hopefully be funny, hopefully put your personality across in a way that's not irritating.
Another person you've spoken about that strikes me as someone who was always... who left you with the opposite of never meet your heroes, who left a lasting impression on you in terms of, you know, just being a lovely all-round person, was Lee Mack. I know you have a lot of time for Lee Mack.
Yeah, yeah.
And ditto.
Another good egg. Yeah.
Yeah, tell me what your first experience of him was.
my first experience of him was my 14th birthday. I asked for tickets to go see him. I had his DVDs as a kid, and my parents took me to see him at Sheffield Town Hall. So that was my first experience of him. And then the next time I saw him was when I was on Would I Lie to You. Oh, that's a good dog. That's a good dog. Lee Mack. Next time I saw him was Would I Lie to You. He was really, really lovely then. And he's incredible to watch in that space. He's so quick. Mm. He's so quick. That's sometimes what you find with panel shows, is because there's the space of like 2.5 hours to appear funny. You know, it's quite slow. So when you, it can be quite slow, the pace. It's not like a live stand-up gig. It's a very different pace and vibe. But watching Lee on Would I Lie to You, he's just got all these like quick comebacks and comments and toppers, and he's such a wit. And then I've got to like know him more over the years. We did Soccer Aid together last year, and again he's got that Sarah Pascoe thing of making sure the people around them feel welcome, like what you were saying about Frank, that they feel that they've got something to contribute. They feel, you know, it's pulling a chair out for you, you know, go and sit here, mate. You know, it's that. It's basically that sort of energy. What is it people say? Not pulling the ladder up after you.
Yeah.
Leaving it down.
You know what, Maisie? From chatting to you, I think you had very good parenting.
Well, I think so too. They were good eggs.
I can tell that.
They're still here. They are good eggs.
There was a thing I wanted to ask you about, which is you were a news story when you were a kid, briefly, weren't you?
Because of my parents. Well, actually, because of me. It was my fault.
So what happened, Maisie?
This is a mad story that I actually didn't know about because I had no memory of it until I was a teenager. And I'll tell you how I came about it. But I wrote a show about it because I knew, well, it'll probably come out one day. And I think... Yeah, it's important to sort of say what really actually happened. Yeah, I guess the best place to start is actually how I came about. When I was at high school, the drama teacher was poorly and she didn't turn up to, you know, she'd had to go home, and she'd written on the whiteboard, "I'm not here, go to the library and research Bertolt Brecht, the playwright." And of course, we went to the library and we didn't research Bertolt Brecht. We went on the computers and started messing about. We used to do this game where we'd Google each other's names, press image, and be like, "Hey, that's you." Just a stupid game. So we were all in the school library, Googling each other's name. Like, I Googled my mate Emily's, and it came up with, like, a grave with her name on, you know, somebody with the same name. We were like, "Oh, you're a ghost." Then I Googled my name, and this article came up. From 1999, about my mum and dad, where when I was 5 years old, we'd gone on holiday to Florida for my dad's 30th birthday, and they'd put me to bed and then gone down just to the ground floor to watch a firework display. Bearing in mind, this is 1999, so it's pre a lot of other similar cases that have happened then, which I'm sure we're aware of, but the fireworks had apparently woken me up. I got out of bed. The door clicked shut behind me. I was looking for my parents, apparently, and the door clicked shut behind me, and I couldn't get back into the hotel room. Started crying like a little kid does. And this woman found me in the corridor. And I have to say, you know, I'd like to think that most people in that scenario would go, where's your parents? Let's get you down to reception. I'm sure we can find them. And instead she rang 911. And the police turn up, and they took hold of my parents, who we've said on this walk, you know, I don't think there's a better set of parents going, and they're wonderful. And the irony of them suddenly finding themselves arrested on, I think the charge was child neglect, which was utterly bizarre.
Felony child abuse, they called
it. Yeah.
And did they go to jail?
Well, that's America, isn't it? Everything's so dramatic over there. Yeah, they spent a night in custody and had to be, you know, they had to get my, like, sort of grandparents over to look after me. And it was all put in the papers for a bit.
It was a huge story, wasn't it? Because I think what happened was that it slightly highlighted, British commentators were saying, this is ridiculous.
Yeah, there was a very different sense of opinion.
Yeah.
And I think anybody, you know, I'm 30. I think if anybody my age and above will remember that as kids, you were just, you know, your parents didn't sit in the hotel room with you at night. They sort of would go down to the pool or go down to the bar. They weren't leaving you. They weren't neglecting you. It's a very different, as you say, attitude, British to Americans. And I think that was what the sensationalism around the case was, is it was utterly ridiculous, you know. And of course, thankfully, they were let off and it all blew over. But the irony being, and that's what I wrote this whole show about, was what great parents my mum and dad are. I think they're wonderful. They're best mates to me now. And it's ridiculous that they were painted as sort of the worst of parenthood. But yeah, it's a mad thing. It's still out there on if some weirdos are doing a deep dive. So I sort of had to talk about it. So I wrote a show about it, and it was good to do a show about it, I guess, because I knew it was going to come up eventually. But it's mad. It's mad that something like that paints somebody in such a bad light would happen to people who are genuinely the best parents in the world. So, as I say, the main takeaway was that all the Brits were like, what's all the fuss about?
Well, I think anyone's
there's still
saying...
people who can read it now in 2024 who would go, God, what were they thinking?
Yeah.
And, oh, God. But, you know, all these words, felony, child abuse, it sounds so dramatic. And actually what happened was something that most parents did.
When I was a kid, we were on a cruise ship, and my parents got a knock on the door, bear in mind, about midnight, and someone said, oh, excuse me, your daughter, I was about four, has been in the disco for 2 hours.
See, okay? There we go.
And they said, she's been dancing, and she's hilarious, and she's having a great time.
But can you come and get her?
And my dad went, okay. And he did.
Yeah.
And you know what? When I tell that story about the cruise ship to people, I don't think I've ever come across somebody who hasn't had a similar story.
Yeah, yeah.
I love
it. It's so strange for them, bless them.
Well, they must be so proud of you now.
I have no recollection of it. No recollection of it whatsoever. So I didn't find out until I found the article on the school computer at 14. Yeah, yeah. I remember going home and going, Mum, I found something on the internet today about Florida, and bless her face was... Because I guess as well, when it happened, she didn't think the internet was going to... You know, I guess she just thought, well, it's happened, we'll tell her about it one day. But how do you start that conversation? So probably for the best that it came out.
The good news is they must be so proud of you now, Maisie, and how not just successful you are, but what I like about your comedy is... You're kind of funny and so an interesting combination, I think, of incredibly sharp, but you're warm and likeable. And it's very hard to get that right, I think.
Well, that's really kind. That's a lovely thing to say. That's sort of, I guess, what everybody's hoping for when they're, you know, putting themselves across. So, and I think with comedy, the comedy I've always grown up liking and watching, you know, we mentioned Lee Mack there, are the warm personalities, the ones where you go, God, I want to be around you, you know.
Yeah.
So maybe that's affected it, but I like watching comedy where I can relate and feel like I know the person. So maybe that's fed into my comedic voice is what I was gonna say, but it sounded a bit.
You worried?
Yeah.
Did you panic there a bit?
I was gonna say wanky, and then I didn't know if we could say wanky on the show. But
you can say whatever you
like. Yeah, okay, I'll say wanky then.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I want to talk about your forthcoming tour, because you've had a lot of hugely successful live shows, and now you've got, I feel like this is a big one for you, isn't it?
It's a big one. It's the biggest rooms I've ever done. It's quite nerve-wracking. Some big boy rooms in there. But I'm very, very excited for it. And I've called it Appraisal because I've managed to do this weird and wonderful dream job for 5 years now as my job. So I thought, well, in any other work, you often get a sort of 5-year appraisal. So I want to sort of, each show is going to be me with the audience, and they're going to basically give me an appraisal, see how I'm getting on, well, let me know whether I'm doing all right. Hopefully it'll be a good performance review. But I can't wait. I can't wait to just get out on tour. And it's the thing I love the most. You know, we've spoken about panel shows, and we've spoken about, you know, the sort of working your way up through comedy. But my favourite bit of this comedy job or journey is touring and getting to go to different places every night, full of an audience that, you know, have given their time and money to see you. So there's the high, I like the high stakes and the pressure of, you know, fulfilling the sort of satisfaction that they need from it. And I like the difference, you know, it's the sort of same show that you're doing every night, but it's going to be different because of the people you're going to talk to in that room, in that night, at that time. I love it. I love that you never get two nights the same with this job. It always keeps you on your toes. So I'm really, really excited for touring. I can't wait.
I can't wait. I'm going to come and see it.
Oh, please do, yeah.
I might sneak Ray in.
Yes, please do. Please do. He's so well behaved, isn't he? And I think we're going to be adding another leg on in the new year. We announced the tour last week, and a quarter of the tickets for the whole tour have gone already. So, yeah, I got my sales report through today, and I was like, bloody hell, go on. It's so nice and encouraging that people are snapping up tickets so far in advance, but the stress head in me goes, well, there's still 75% to go. Even though I've got...
Are you a glass half full or half empty?
Half full, definitely. I stress that it's not going to stay half full. Does that make sense? Half full. I'm an eternal optimist, but I'm a worrying optimist. I go, this is going to be great, but I worry how long it'll last.
You're an eternal optimist who's always ready to adjust the sails.
Yes, yes, definitely.
I like those ones.
Yeah. I think you have to be an optimist in this job. I don't know if you could do it being a pessimist. Look, my word, she's been swimming.
Amazing. That was the dog that we saw earlier. The
Jizzle.
Jizzle, the three-legged dog.
And Jizzle's owner has been for a swim in the sea, which I think we can both agree on. It doesn't look, doesn't look very promising, does it? It's not looking inviting. It's not California beach.
It's not
people
beach
roller skating alongside, is it?
Maisie, I want you to tell me, because we're getting close, I need to let you go soon, but I want to say congratulations firstly, because you got married.
Oh, thank you. Cheers. Yeah.
To love of your life.
Yep.
Are we allowed to name him?
Mike, yeah. He's been named in a few shows, so he don't mind.
And Mike, how did you meet Mike?
It's actually strange we're walking along here. We had our first date on the seafront, just down there where the music hall is.
And did
I met him, he used to run a cocktail bar here in Brighton. And
oh, that's quite glamorous.
He was working as a waiter in a cocktail bar. And I was I'd lived in Brighton about 6 months, and it was St. Paddy's Day. And
he didn't have a hat on, did
no,
he? Comedy
God,
hat.
No.
Good.
But my my two friends from up north came down to visit me to see what Brighton's all about. And it was so cold that night that we were like, let's just go into the first bar that we find. And we went into this bar, and he was the guy serving us, and my friends immediately clocked that I fancied the pants off him. And we're doing what all best mates do in that situation, which is completely throw you under the bus and make it really obvious, even though I was really embarrassed. And we got chatting that night and set up a date later on, which was down here at the seafront. And that was 6 years ago.
How lovely.
It was great. Yeah, it was lovely. It was really nice. So yeah, we got married last summer here in Brighton.
People often, you've got very distinctive hair.
Yeah.
And people always talk about your hair. And
which baffles me, by the way.
I was going to say, I actually find it a bit odd, the level of focus on
yeah,
your
I
hair.
Yeah, I do. Thank you for not starting this interview with it, because it's so boring when people go, you've got, oh, your hair, talk us through it then. You go, what do you mean, talk us through it? It's hair. It's a way, it's like going, me going to you, talk us through your outfit today then. It's just something that you've chosen to express yourself through, but it's hair, it can change, you know.
But again,
Show me any photo of anybody in the 80s with hair that they'd have now. Yeah. It's just that most people change their hair less dramatically and less often, and you don't really notice a big change. Whereas, I don't know, I just think life's for living. If you want to, it is. If you want to do a different haircut and you've never wondered how it's going to look, but you've always wanted to do it, just bloody do it. If you don't like it, it grows out.
But I also think, without realising it, people are sort of saying, that's not what we expect of a lady,
no,
comedian.
I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is. And a lot of people like to read into stuff and, you know, say it's this or it's that, or, you know, I didn't expect you to have this. Oh, it's quite dramatic, isn't it? Or, well, I've heard people say, what did your parents say? No, 30. Do you know what I mean? People react like you've got a tattoo on your face or something.
Mum, something, Dad, I've got something to tell you.
But even then, a tattoo on your face, go for it. But like, yeah. I mean, something that's undoable. You know, I've to just sort of shave the back of your head for a bit because you fancied something a bit different.
Well, when you look back, not that it's the same thing, but it just reminded me that looking back at Sinead O'Connor.
Yeah.
And I saw that documentary on her, which was so heartbreaking, just you realise. I didn't realise at the time, you know, I lived through that, and just, what chance did she have?
Yeah.
You know, because she
ridiculous.
Didn't play the game, and it was kind of like, all she did was do what any man would do.
And again, I think it's helped with, my mum is and always has been a punk. So she dresses punk, she's got a punk haircut.
So weird.
And so I've grown up with people commenting about my mum. Oh, your mum's got interesting hair. You go, what do you mean, interesting hair? You mean she's not got a boring perm like you?
She doesn't look like a Republican wife.
It does mean nothing. Like, what do you mean my mum's got, you know, odd hair, interesting hair? It's always said with a raised eyebrow. You go, it's her life. Let her, you know, dress how she wants. Let her wear... And I guess with her being specifically punk in her aesthetic, I've grown up with kind of a nice rejection of gender norms, of, you know, you don't have to be, if you're a woman, you don't have to be somebody who's going to wear a dress and have long, nice hair that's kept and styled. You go, if you want to wear your hair this way, if you want to dye it, you know, I've since changed my haircut again. It's now bright peroxide blonde and it's sort of got a bit of a mullet thing going on. Because you know what? I'd like to get to the end of my life and have done another different haircut. I like to switch it up and change it.
Yeah.
It's hair, to me, is no different than trying a new meal. Or if you don't like it, don't get it again. Do you know what I mean? Don't go through life eating the same food with the same haircut, wearing the same clothes, meeting the same people. It really frustrates me when people react like it's an unchangeable life choice.
Yeah.
Hello. I just realised who you were.
Oh, bless you. Oh, that's very kind.
Absolute
Oh, give over. Oh, no, give over.
No, no, a fellow Yorkshire woman here.
Oh, really? Whereabouts are you from?
Leeds, Harrogate, Scarborough.
No way. We've been talking about it.
Filey was our main one.
Oh, great.
Bridlington.
Oh, lovely. Yeah, yeah.
My uncles are all still up there.
Yeah, nice.
And I listen to you and I'm like, I love the Yorkshire. Anyway, I didn't connect.
Oh, no, give over.
I said to my friend, I know. And I went, oh, my God, it's Maisie Adam.
Oh, was that you that's been in the sea? How was it?
Mad. Cold.
I can't believe it.
Mad.
Yeah, you're mad for going in.
Literally mad.
I love it, though. Do you do it a lot?
We do it, like, well, I plan to get in once a week.
Oh, my word. Hats off to you.
Lockdown, mental health.
Yeah, yeah. Has it made a difference? Does it really? Yeah, I hear this a lot.
It kicks the serotonin, and then the rest of the day is manageable.
Yeah.
No, you're so cute. Anyway,
thank you. You've been our serotonin boost. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm friend. I'm sick of people going, oh, my God, it's you.
Oh, no, give over. Give over.
Particular favourite.
Oh, it was lovely to meet you. Yeah. And your dog. Your dog is so lovely. Yeah,
we loved you, Phil. Yeah,
see you soon. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Oh, Maisie, what a lovely...
That was very sweet.
Isn't that nice?
Was very sweet. I'm glad I still wasn't mid-rant. And she came up to me. I'm still going, oh, people really frustrate me.
Is that nice when people come over and say stuff like that?
It
must be lovely.
Because it's you know, like what we were saying of, you know, you're trying to do comedy that people relate to and people enjoy and people feel like they know you. So it's nice if people can feel like that and they can come up and, you know, they're saying nice things. I don't understand how anybody's ever going to have a problem with that. It's lovely. Somebody coming up to you and saying that they enjoy your work.
Maisie Adam, do you know what I think? I'm going to tell you. The thing about Brighton is, even if it's raining, it's kind of... I feel like a sort of heroine in a Victorian Gothic novel.
I know exactly what you mean.
Do you know what I mean? It doesn't depress me so much. It doesn't feel bleak. And it feels like, oh, I've got such inner romanticism.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you feel that?
Yeah, 100%. 100%. Like, there's some parts of the world where if we had this weather right now, you'd be so depressed.
London.
But instead, I feel like, I'm getting all the elements today from the weather. I love it.
Well, Maisie, we've had the most wonderful time with you.
Oh, I've really enjoyed this.
Have you?
Yeah, I really have. I've missed dog walks. I've missed them.
You say dog walks. Do you want to explain what Raymond's doing currently?
Well, yeah. Dog carries. Yeah.
We're going to come and see you on tour.
Yeah, do. Oh, look, he's shivering. Oh, Ray. You've done so well. You've done so well, darling. Well done.
Oh, thank you, mate.
Oh.
Ray, do you want to say goodbye to Maisie?
Love ya.
I really hope you enjoyed that episode of Walking the Dog. We'd love it if you subscribed and do join us next time on Walking the Dog, wherever you get your podcasts.